While the first speaker of the second half talks, I'm going to change a guitar string if that's not excessively rude. Mr. Andrew Bentley, everybody. The best and newest member of the Nerd Alliance.
You know what? I don't need this. Goodbye.
I got a new opening. Nerd Alliance. I am not really Andrew Bentley.
Fair enough. All right. I am Andrew Bentley, and what I'm holding here is probably the closest thing I've ever had to a Bible. For those of you on the podcast, what I'm holding is the advanced second edition Dungeons & Dragons Monsters Manual.
Back up forever!
Amen. Amen, brother. Oh, God. All right. So... I have been playing D&D in some shape or form for the last 15 years. My first campaign that I ran was improvised from a sleeping bag in sixth grade in my friend Chris Rory's basement. And I spent most of that time since GMing. Now, Chris Rory is the one who introduced me to D&D. He's also the one who introduced me to metal later on, and fireworks in between there at some point. but he brought this in fifth grade because his dad and uncle both played, and so he'd been introduced to it at a really early age. And I borrowed the books from him without playing, and I was immediately, just enraptured. This was exactly what I'd been looking for. I remember staying up late at night, past the point when, my lights were supposed to be out, under the covers with a flashlight, reading through the second edition Monsters Manual, through all of the just esoteric minutiae that's in here. There's two whole pages on aquatic elves. case in point. To give an example of the sort of thing in here, I'd like to read a quick excerpt here from the section on owlbears. And this is a paragraph from the Habitat and Society section of their page. Owlbears live in mated pairs. The male is slightly larger and heavier than the female. If encountered in the lair, there is a 25% chance that there will be 1 to 6 eggs, 20%, or young, 80%, in addition to the adults. The offspring will be 40% to 70% grown, and fight as creatures with 3 or 4 hit dice, depending on their growth. They have hit points based on their adjusted hit dice. Immature offspring inflict 1d4, 1d4, 2 to 8 points of damage with their attacks, and a character has a plus 20% to his Ben Bar's lift gates roll to escape the hug of an immature owlbear. Now, some of you may be thinking, why do we need to know the exact percentage of hit dice for an immature owlbear? That is a good question, but that is one that did not occur to me for many, many years after I started playing D&D, and apparently did not occur to Gary Gygax before his death. Gary Gygax had a strange, strange fetish for verisimilitude, in that everything in the books he published was super detailed, super down to the last hit die and percentage point. Plotted out. The example I've used before, which I think I brought up on a previous podcast, is there was in the first edition D&D a D100 table to break down into several categories the exact type of prostitute you might discover wandering the red light districts of various invented cities. Just to make sure it had that extra little piece of realism. But this was something that, as a kid, I embraced. The thing that's most often bandied out about role-playing games is the idea that it provides for escapism, that it allows for unimpeded invention in terms of creating these these broad vistas where the only limit is your imagination. And I don't think that that's actually what originally attracted me to D&D. See, I'd been making up stories. I'd been playing little, like, you know, fake fantasy choose-your-own-adventure type things with my friends for years. What attracted me to D&D when I was 11 years old was the fact that there was so much codified law about it, that everything was entirely plotted out, that you knew when you walked into an owlbear's cave exactly how many eggs 20% or young 80% there would be, and how many hit points they would have, and how much damage they would do to you. And you had a a holy, you know, resource that you could refer back to, and no one could question, you know, what happened there. It was, I think, a sense of control and completeness that was missing from my life at that point and for many, many years after that. And so now, while it seems very, very silly that there's, you know, five different types of giant centipede, just to pull to a random page there, I think that Gary Gygax, rest in peace, understood something about the type of kid who would play D&D that maybe we didn't about ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Let me share very quickly one of my favorite Nerdlogs Facebook moments brought to you by Andrew. One day he posted on the Nerdlogs page a quiz from, God, I don't remember what website, and it was like, indie band or D&D monster? And I took the quiz, and I only got two, and I was like, man, there's like, these are some really obscure bands, because the only two I knew were like Mountain Goats and Band of Horses, which I think are pretty, like, I mean, kind of everyone knows those bands. And Andrew's like, yeah, I got all but one, and it's not because I know anything about music. So. That's Andrew Matthews.